Meg Eden Kuyat, your book is beautifully written. What was your reason behind writing it in verse?
Oh, thanks so much. I think the reason for verse is they have that saying for musical theater that when the emotions get too strong, you stop speaking and you start singing. And when the emotions are so too strong for singing, you start dancing. And I think it's the same way for me with verse. Like, if the emotions are too strong for just normal writing of prose, like, I go to poetry. And so I felt a lot with writing this book, so it came out as poems.
Wow, that's really interesting. When did you start writing in verse? Like, originally?
I've been writing poems for a long time. So, middle school, I think I started writing poems. But this was the first time I wrote it as a story, like a novel in verse.
And this story is based on your own life, is that right?
I like to think of it as like an emotional autobiography. So it's like those literal things didn't happen to me, but the emotion behind it is very, very true.
Oh, that makes sense. So the main character, Sayla, how much does she resemble you?
She's very, very much like me.
Yeah.
I think it's like almost exactly me.
Oh, nice. For listeners who may just now be joining us, my guest is Meg Eden Kuyat, author of the newly released Good Different. The book is a juvenile fiction novel written in verse that centers around Sayla, a neurodivergent 12-year-old who comes to understand and celebrate her difference. It's so important for books to serve as both windows and as mirrors. Given this, can you talk about how impactful it is for neurodivergent kids to be able to read books with neurodivergent protagonists and also by neurodivergent authors?
Yeah, I love that you bring up that the windows and doors metaphor, because I think for a lot of neurodivergent kids, there aren't many of those reflections of themselves. And so being able to see a reflection of yourself, you go, oh, it's not just me. Oh, there's somebody else that feels this way too. That means maybe that I'm not the problem. Like, maybe there's some other problem. And I know for me, reading a book is not the best example because it was not written by a neurodivergent person, but it was the first time I saw an autistic protagonist. And that's what started my whole journey of actually seeking diagnosis and, you know, this whole journey, because I went, wait, there's someone else that thinks like me. And that was just, I was so craving representation of any kind, even though that one, I wouldn't necessarily recommend that book, but I needed something. So I think it's so important that we have all kinds of representation that kids can see themselves in the pages.
And your book is also very important for people who aren't neurodivergent to read, because it can really provide insight or a window into what a neurodivergent person might be going through. What kind of responses have you had to the book?
So far, very good. Suspicious.
That's good.
Waiting for people that, you know, don't like it, because everyone agrees, it's like, okay, well, what's going on here? But so far, it's been really positive, really encouraging hearing, you know, people say, oh, now I feel like I better understand what my grandchild or my child might be going through, or now my mom better understands what I've been going through. So I've gotten like some really awesome messages from people of how they've connected with the book, which is it makes all of being a writer so beyond worth it hearing that.
Oh, that's good. That's good. What advice would you give neurodivergent middle schoolers or teens who are trying to learn more about themselves?
Ooh. Well, first off, I tell them they're not alone, because I think I felt alone. So I want them to know they're not alone, that there's tools out there, and that you can succeed and thrive and live an awesome life. Because I think a lot of the times what people tell neurodivergent kids is, you know, that you're lazy, you're a problem, a troublemaker. Like, we only hear like the bad stuff. So I want them to know that they can live like an awesome life and do awesome things.
Yeah, definitely. And you said that there are tools available. Can you talk a bit more about the resources that are there to help neurodivergent kids and adults too?
Yeah, and there's a lot of really cool tools, and I feel like I'm only just beginning to unmine them. And so in the back of the book, there's a list of some resources that I've found particularly helpful, and as well on my website. And I try to update that one because, you know, I'm finding new things. But I think I mentioned a neuroclastic article on there of autism is a spectrum, doesn't mean what you think it means, which I love that article because I think it helps explain what this being autistic means, especially to folks that, you know, might not be autistic. And there's another site I really love, which is maybe more for adults, but it's Thinking Person's Guide to Autism. And that has really good articles and resources that, you know, a trusted adult could, you know, help an autistic kid with navigating that stuff.
You seem to be quite a prolific writer. Can you tell us a bit about your process?
Thanks. I feel like I'm so slow. I guess everyone is hard on themselves. I see writers that pump out books so fast and I'm like, oh, I'm so slow. My process, though, I don't quite know how to describe it. I'm always trying to take notes of what's interesting to me, what's exciting, what questions I have. What am I trying to learn? That's often a big thing because the writing process helps me learn and figure out things where I need to grow. And so I feel like it's kind of a growth process for me. But I think the most important thing is figuring out what is interesting because you're spending a long time writing this book and editing it. So I try to write out ideas of things that are interesting to me. And when I do that, often there's some common threads. So I may not stick with that specific sentence I wrote of what could maybe be a novel, but I wrote 10 or 15 sentences and they all had this kind of theme around them. And I go, oh, okay, I'm probably writing something about that. But then usually at some point, once that's been mulling for a few months, then suddenly words explode out of me. So I'm so not in control of this process. I think it's like very humbling being a writer because you realize I have no control. I just have to, you know, faithfully show up and see what happens.
Yeah. So then do you take a lot of your inspiration from just the world around you or?
Yeah. And I think I'm learning that what our lived experience is the most powerful thing. I used to think my life was so boring and there was nothing interesting for me to write about. And so I tried to write about things that weren't my life. And I found that those were less powerful of stories, less meaningful of ones. So I like to also think about, you know, what do I know? What things are part of my experience and using that as a launching point for my writing. And that's the stuff people go, this is your strongest stuff. So
that's good to hear you say. What about books? Do you take any inspiration from other books?
Absolutely. If you talk to most authors, they'll say, I don't like to read anything like my book while I'm writing. And I'm actually the opposite. I like to know what else are people in the world saying about this idea that I care about. Do I agree with what they're saying? Do I disagree? How can I add to this conversation? You know, there's certain topics I've been interested in, but then I've read books and said, oh, they kind of said what I already wanted to say. So what's the point of me writing a book? Books are a conversation. When I'm publishing something, I'm in conversation with the other books in the world. So I want to think about where would I be in this conversation that's happening.
Wow, that's so interesting. What are you reading right now?
I'm reading a lot of things. I tend to start like 10 different books. So I'm trying to actually think of what I'm reading. I just finished yesterday 54 Things Wrong with Gwendolyn Rogers, which is a lovely middle grade novel about an ADHD girl. Or I guess she's not technically diagnosed ADHD, but she's clearly neurodivergent. And so that's a really fun, interesting one. But otherwise, I've got like 10 or 20 different middle grade and adult books. Oh, that's the one I was reading. Your Plantation Prom is Not Okay, which is a YA that I have just started, but I'm hooked on it. It is really, really good, really like a thoughtful, complex view of thinking about all the messiness in our world when it comes to race, especially about things like plantations. So I'd highly, highly recommend that one.
Okay, definitely. I'll have to check that out then. And finally, what do you think the most important message is for people to get from reading your book?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, I think for neurodivergent kids, I really want them to know they're not alone and they can fly. We have so many tools for flying. And I want neurotypical readers to have empathy for a perspective that's different than their own. So if somebody does something that's surprising or strange, instead of assuming the worst in a person, trying to think, well, why is this person doing it? And actually, that's probably the message for everybody. I think in a lot of the stuff I write, I am somebody that's very judgmental. I'm quick to conclusions, and I'm really like examining that about myself, that I often make really ugly judgments about people. And then I learn more and I go, oh, wow, if I was in their shoes, I would do that thing. So when I'm writing, I feel like if there's a common thread in my stories, it's taking a character that you'd make assumptions about and then unpacking that and realizing like, oh, they're way more complicated, and just trying to encourage us as readers to not be so quick to judge and maybe ask questions before you make judgments.
I did get that from reading your book, so.
Oh, yay, good.
Yeah, I just want to say that I really loved your book. It was really, really good.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining me today. It was great getting to speak with you.
Yes, thank you so much for having me, and such awesome questions. Like, I'm going to still mull over those questions, I think.
My guest today has been Meg Eden Kuyat, author of Good Different. My name is Phoebe Donovan, and you're listening to KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins.